Movie, film, 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 film,
Movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film. It's the podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film.
Every week.
I'm Nate, and if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damned well sure we'll avenge it.
And I'm Terrell. And as far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass.
Oh, we both quoted Avengers movies.
Yeah.
You did Infinity. No. Endgame.
Yes.
Avengers Endgame.
And yours is...
I gave it away, but also...
It's Infinity.
No.
No, it's Endgame.
No.
Oops.
It's The Avengers.
It's The Avengers.
Marvel's Avengers... What was the international title? Avengers Assemble?
Was that it?
I think, yeah.
Okay. Oh, the first one, okay.
I'm a big Marvel fan. I know these things. We are doing a Marvel movie, but it's a Disney animation.
Yeah.
Big Hero 6.
Mm-hmm. A little different.
But first, let's do everybody's favorite part of the podcast, where we run down things we watched recently.
Mm-hmm.
But first, a little bit of movie news. Right?
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
Because it's news about film. We are launching a Patreon page.
Yeah, we are.
Patreon.com/moviefilmpod if you want to show your support. It's going to be $2 a month. What will you get for that other than the pleasure of supporting your favorite podcasters? You get what you've already been getting, but in a different package. This episode will be the last one wherein the rundown is included in the main podcast. Instead, we'll be releasing 4 rundown episodes on the Patreon page,
mm-hmm.
one per week,
mm-hmm.
at the usual rate. But we'll do it a little different because if you pay us $2 a week to support us and to listen to the exclusive Patreon rundown podcast, you'll get to hear everything if it's a movie or film. You'll get to hear if a random thing I watched was a film,
mm-hmm.
or if it was a movie. That's mm-hmm. how the podcast works.
All right. Yeah.
That's the ad.
Yeah, that's the ad. We'll probably end up talking a bit more in greater detail about the things we watch. And we could probably bring back talking about trailers. We haven't talked about trailers in a long time.
Yeah, we can do all the extra stuff.
Yeah.
But the main movie film feed, starting with episode 110,
mm-hmm.
is just going to be focusing on a single movie or film.
Right.
From now on.
Mm-hmm.
Not from now on. From then on, a week from today.
From here on.
From now on until the end of this episode, I guess.
Yeah.
Until the end of this section.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do the rundown.
Let's do the rundown. One last
the
time.
The old classic rundown, mm-hmm. where we don't have to rack our brains about whether or not Winnie the Pooh is a movie or a film.
Yeah.
We watched Winnie the Pooh.
We did.
I guess I could have saved this for last since it's the same director,
mm-hmm.
co-director as Big Hero 6, and mm-hmm. that's why we watched it. Why didn't we watch Raya and the Last Dragon? We messed up.
Yeah, we did mess up. We totally said we were going to do it,
yeah.
and then it slipped through.
Well, Disney wanted $20 for it, or $30
on
top of the 30. On top of the subscription.
Yeah, so you know, there's that.
Yeah, so we watched the other movie that Don Hall co-directed,
the
called
free one,
2011. It's not even free; you have to pay for Disney Plus.
I mean, yeah,
they've already brainwashed us. Now we consider that stuff free.
I guess.
I mean, I'm not personally paying.
I'm
for
not
access
personally paying for
Disney
it either.
Plus.
So it's all free to me.
Yeah. Support our Patreon so that we can, you know, have our own streaming
exactly.
Subscription.
Or maybe like give to the account holders.
Yeah. Let's pay for the podcast hosting first.
Let's start.
Let's get that
covered. Let's start there.
Winnie the Pooh was Disney Animation's last 2D animated film. A lot of people say it's Princess and the Frog, but I like being... Well, actually, it's they made a 63-minute Winnie the Pooh movie, and it is delightful.
It's delightful.
Yeah.
I love that. The honey song. You get the honey?
The just the angelic chorus.
Yeah.
Honey, 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 honey. Yeah, I forgot it was a musical.
Mm-hmm.
It's wacky.
It's wacky.
I like the Baxton song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Baxton. Yeah, the Baxton song is great. I had this thought while I was watching it where I was just like, I miss this. There was something that was just so imaginative about it.
Yeah.
That is so, like, you have to be, like, when you're a kid, you believe anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you give your whole, like, heart into the idea that there's a Baxton there. And, like, it that moment in the feature really captured it really well. Where I was just like, oh, wow, I feel that. This is really fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a good story about the dangers of illiteracy, I guess. Especially, like, if your character is in a book, you should learn how to read. They could tell the future if they just read ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I like that there's certain parts of it within the framing device of the book where you can see, like, the next bit of text that the narrator is going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a delight.
Yeah. I haven't seen those guys in a while. I haven't watched anything Winnie the Pooh since I don't know when. I don't know the last time
I watched the original movie, like September. Mm-hmm. It was around the Jewish New Year because of honey. We eat honey for Rosh Hashanah. And there's no Rosh Hashanah movie, so I watched Winnie the Pooh.
Nice.
Yeah, Disney, make more 63-minute movies. All killer, no filler, you know?
Yeah.
And make them take place in books. It's like Winnie the Pooh just has all these things that are just gone.
Right.
It's only been 10 years, but already there's no more 2D Disney movies. Books don't... I mean, I know they still exist, but they don't really exist. Like, they're definitely dying, at least print.
Yeah.
And, like, childhood, that's gone. I guess for some people, it's still there.
For some people, yeah.
If there's any kids listening to this podcast, tweet us at Movie Film Pod. I'm just curious. That was a creepy announcement.
That was creepy.
But, like, do kids listen? And would they borrow their parents' credit cards to support our new Patreon page?
Uh-oh, that's not what we're saying.
If you want something short and sweet to watch with a child, though, Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Or even alone. We're two grown men, and we loved it.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you watch?
I watched Promising Young Woman.
Me too.
Yeah. We're on the watch for, I guess, the Oscars Best Picture. Is it something?
It's still weird to me that this is nominated.
Oh, God. So weird. It's really weird. I thought that...
Like, Kill Bill wasn't nominated, was it?
No, Kill Bill wasn't nominated. Uma Thurman wasn't nominated. See, this is the thing when... Because, like... Promising Young Woman is good and it's fun, right? And I knew it was going to be that when I first saw the trailer and that violin string hit that first note of Britney Spears' Toxic, right? But it's like, how is this movie? And I'm not trying to be like, you know, mean or anything, but like, how is this movie an Oscar movie? Like, and when you look at the past, when you look at past movies that are like, where like there, it's really good and like there's a really good performance in it, but then the Oscars like, no, it's a genre, it's horror, it's blah blah blah, and you're just like, okay, you guys are pretty consistent with that, and then something like Promising Young Woman will slip in, and you're just like, how? It's not even like the best of like what came before it.
I think everyone that votes for awards loves Netflix's The Crown.
Mm-hmm.
And Emerald Fennell, the writer-director, is an actor in Netflix's The Crown.
Oh.
I think it's her. I think it's her campaigning.
It's her. Okay.
And I feel like the Oscars love to every once in a while be like, this is the new person.
Mm-hmm.
It's Emerald right now.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Yeah. It could be, yeah, it could be like a timing. It could be a connection thing. It could be a lot of things, but it just seems really weird.
Yeah. No, like is, now they like rape revenge.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, it is a rape revenge rom-com, but they don't traditionally like rom-coms either. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
It kind of takes away from the viewing experience because then you're watching it and you're like, this?
Yeah, I'm like this.
But it's good.
It's good.
I like it.
And then I'm also like, what? Because she's, Carrie Mulligan is nominated for Best Actress. And then I'm also just like, so like, where's the moment at? Mm. Not that she's really good in it, but like, where's, like, I didn't. See,
I think it's
the moment.
Probably her last scene,
and as the nurse,
yeah,
perhaps. But I feel like that. I feel like most Oscar moments come from like a monologue,
mm-hmm.
you know, or like just a scene that's really focused on them. I feel like even that scene is like it bounces off her and the guy a lot.
Yeah, it's definitely.
She had, like, so much of her time is shared in that where I don't feel like she really has that moment in Promising Young Woman.
But a lot of acting is reacting.
Yeah.
And it is a lot of one-on-one scenes. Like, yeah. I know that's corny, but, like,
no, you're
there's
right.
something to the strength in her performance that there's, within each scene, there's, like, the power balance is constantly shifting of someone thinks they're, taking advantage of someone or they have power over them and then she's like I did this fucked up thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's I don't know, there's entertainment value in that and Carrie yeah. Mulligan's good.
Yeah.
But
she's good, but now I want justice.
Oscars make things weird.
They make things weird. I want justice for Uma Thurman. I want justice for Pam Grier. I want justice for Toni Collette. I want justice for Lupita Nyong'o. Like,
yeah.
Those movies, those performances that could have easily been Oscar nominated, you mm-hmm. know, if they say this is.
I guess they're inviting more people into the Academy. So
I hope,
I guess
yeah.
this is the
it could yeah, it could be a change, maybe. And this could be a start. So if this is a start of something new, great. But if it's just like an exception to the rule, then making a better exception.
Yeah, we watched another Oscar-nominated picture, The Father.
Mm-hmm.
I liked The Father.
I liked The Father.
This was the one play adaptation of a play that they let into the Best Picture category.
Yeah.
A lot of plays this year.
A lot of plays, and this is the only one. This
was the white one.
It's the white one.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's British.
Mm-hmm. It's British.
I don't...
What?
I didn't like it better than One Night in Miami and... Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Me neither.
But it does, like, the movie parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does interesting stuff in terms of how the movie making tells the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it has that going for it.
Yeah. I think the direction is good.
Yeah.
It feels, and the set pieces are really good. Like, it feels like theater. There's something, like, exaggerated about the doors in The Father that I'm just like, oh, this is theater. And
this one has lots of moments for the lead performance.
Oh yeah. Anthony Hopkins is so good. Like, I didn't want him to be that good. He's so good. Like, if he won the Oscar, I would be like, it's Anthony Hopkins. Like, he's got one.
I get why he got the BAFTA.
Mm-hmm.
He's a knight.
Yeah.
He's been knighted. Anthony Hopkins. But we better give it to Chadwick.
It's going to go to Chadwick. And deservingly so, not just because he died.
No.
But Anthony Hopkins is so good. He has such a big range of emotion from like angry to charming to helpless and pathetic to like everything imaginable. We get to see it, and it kind of I thought it was like a mystery. I thought it was trying to trick me, but it wasn't. And then when you get to the end,
yeah,
and you, it just is what it is. You're just like, oh.
But it definitely does keep you guessing. It engages you in a way where you're like, what am, is what I'm watching real?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. It's a movie, but. Or is it a film? I don't know. If we talked about it on the Patreon page, we would have to decide.
We would have to decide. Holy. But I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it a lot. And then we watched...
DJ's dead.
Yeah, Dick Johnson is dead. And it made me... I don't want to say it made me like the father less, but it paints just a better picture. It's just real life. Real life is just so much better.
Yeah, it's a good demonstration of how maybe the documentary form is better at, if you're trying to communicate what real things are like.
Yes.
It certainly highlights how dramatized the father is.
Yes.
But yeah, I got you to watch that.
Yeah. You have me in there crying. We watch... What did we watch before that? Oh, we watched...
Shrek 2.
We watched Shrek 2, which is just phenomenal. It's just like... It just brings me so much joy. I'm like... And I needed that in that moment. Just like...
Oh, I'm sorry if I took it away right away. Yeah.
Oh, man. It was like high then low. It was, yeah.
Damn.
It was good though, because
it's an uplifting ending, I think.
Yeah. No, it's uplifting. But by the end of it, I'm like, definitely, my face is wet.
It puts
like,
you through I'm the just, ringer, yeah.
It puts me through the yeah. And so I'm crying. There's like the funeral scene. Mm-hmm. That's when I like start losing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When the friend can't.
Yeah, the friend can't keep it together.
Friend can't get the horn. There's a lot of good comedy.
The humor and the sadness. It's a perfect picture of life, you know.
Yeah. If only we could all be so lucky to have a Netflix budget to make family movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But seriously, film your parents and your loved ones.
Yeah.
Make memories.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking about when she said she doesn't have any footage of how her mom used to be.
Right.
I was like, oh man, like that's just in your head. Like that's just for you now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dick Johnson. Quite a guy though. Good character.
Good character.
And really, yeah, really interesting in terms of like
concept of.
The concept and like her, even like part of the movie is exploring that. I mean, a lot of documentaries end up being about the making of the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And like as he slips deeper into, was it Alzheimer's or dementia? I forget. I guess the mother had dementia, the father had Alzheimer's.
Aren't they really similar?
I think so.
I can't really tell the difference between the
two. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because they both affect memory.
Right. So as he had more memory loss and like they're still making this filming different scenes of him dying, it becomes like, does he understand what's happening? Like,
yeah.
Just interesting to explore that and just how much it's at least communicated with the caretaker character and also just by Dick himself that he's just doing it for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's the love.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a beautiful thing.
It's really beautiful.
Shrek 2, though.
Shrek 2, though. Question, is Shrek 1 better or is Shrek 2 better?
I'm still partial to 1.
You're partial to
1. I was watching it through that lens because I know you prefer 2.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, is this better? It's more.
It is more.
It's more.
More music.
But it doesn't have the... I don't know. Shrek, I think, is more well-rounded.
Mm-hmm.
It has... Like, the romance stuff doesn't... I don't really feel it
with
Shrek 2. Because I know it's Shrek and Fiona and they're already together.
Right.
Because I saw the first Shrek.
Is that in...
But it's like them... Their romance in the first one, I value a lot. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has to do with that song, Hallelujah. But that was the first time I heard it. I was like, damn, that's a beautiful song.
Right.
This is a beautiful movie that has fart jokes and pop culture references.
Yeah.
So many.
So many. So many. I love both of them, really. I mean, they're both like flawless. They're both like, if you want to feel good, just put on Shrek. Just put it on. Put it on in the background. You can jump in at any moment and just get into it.
Yeah.
What I love about Shrek 2 is everything. And it has a, everything. And it has a really great bad guy. Has a great villain that you wouldn't associate to be a bad guy. The fairy godmother.
Right.
And just like her and like Prince Charming being her son, but being like a spoiled brat.
Yeah, just because your last name, take it from me, just because your last name is an adjective doesn't mean that adjective describes you.
Yeah, he was not.
He's charming. Not charming, and no. I ain't gross.
But yeah, it's on Hulu, guys. So watch it while it's there. I don't know how long it's gonna be there.
Well, it just arrived. It'll stick around.
Yeah.
What
else have you watched?
I watched three other things.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them was Ocean's 13, and everyone knows how that goes, so I don't need to get into it.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Especially the ending.
Ocean's 13 might be my Shrek 2, or the Ocean's trilogy. Yeah. Just,
I get that.
Yeah, it's just great.
I love stuff. That ending, too. Like, that... Mm-hmm. Has stuck with me more than anything. The guy that put through the ringer pretty much throughout the whole movie, and then they let him win.
He finally gets the money. but I will get into a little bit Que Viva Mexico,
mm-hmm.
which is a Russian movie. I continued my Sergei Einstein watch. Mm-hmm. That was the Battleship Potemkin guy. This was released in 1979, though. I'm pretty sure long after he died. This was like his final, or one of his final projects. It was like an unfinished thing that he went to Mexico and filmed a bunch of footage.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never put together until it was like I forget what his job was originally, but one of his proteges ended up completing the work. And it's not... it's similar to his other ones in that it's mainly visual storytelling, but this isn't even like performed. I don't know if it's labeled as a documentary, but I feel like it should be. It's kind of just, hey, we visited Mexico. Here's the footage.
Mm.
But the way it's edited is nice. And the Russian / Mexican music is, it's just such a weird combination.
Mm-hmm.
Only used to American, the American impression of Mexico, and it's only a little bit even the Mexican impression of Mexico. Not enough. I haven't seen enough Mexican representation of Mexico in my life. But right. to see the Russian version, the Russian flavor, it's...
different.
It was different.
Yeah.
And interesting for that alone.
Mm-hmm.
And Mexico's cool.
Mm.
And yeah, cool sights and sounds.
Mm-hmm. Well, I watched one other picture.
All right.
But I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, okay. Not even mention it.
No, I'm not even going to mention it. We'll probably talk about it later.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Wait.
Don't look at it. Don't do that.
Okay.
He's trying to cheat. He's trying to sneak a look.
Well, because I won't. You've been teasing this.
I know. Don't do it.
All right. But I won't even get to know until next week.
You won't. That's the point.
All right. Well, in that case, let's hear the trailer for Big Hero 6.
All right, let me get this straight. A man in a kabuki mask attacked you with an army of miniature flying robots.
Microbots? Baymax, tell him.
Yes, officer.
Microbots?
Yeah, he was controlling them telepathically with a neurocranial transmitter. Come on!
I am not fast.
Yeah, no kidding! Go, 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 go!
So Mr. Kabuki was using ESP to attack you and Balloon Man.
Big Hero 6 is a 2014 American computer animated superhero picture.
Yeah.
And it's a Marvel property that Disney Animation Studios took after they bought Marvel.
Right.
They said, here, this is for the kids.
Mm-hmm. Now Disney has all of Marvel.
This was... I watched it,
mm-hmm.
like, maybe not 2014, maybe 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it, but as listeners who... heard the Sorry to Bother You episode and played it to the end, I was very surprised that you picked this. It just feels super random.
It was super random. I totally forgot about Big Hero 6, to be honest with you. And when I was looking for something to do for this week, I was looking at a few lists, and Big Hero 6 popped up, and I said, ooh, okay. Let's do that. I haven't seen that in a while, and I would like to revisit it because I did remember liking it, but it didn't like stick with me.
Yeah. No, me neither.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Right. But then I remembered Baymax, and I was just like,
yeah,
I want that.
That's cute.
Yeah, I want that. So now we're doing Big Hero 6.
We did already do Iron Giant and Spider-Verse, though.
I know.
This is very much in that camp.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah, we have a house now.
I guess I don't have any other big picture things to... Crew Love. There's only one member of the crew that worked on... previous thing, mm-hmm. and that was Black Panther, and it was one of the sound people, David C. Hughes.
Okay.
No one else.
Nice.
I was pretty surprised to see that.
Yeah.
A lot of this team did work on the new Raya and the Last Dragon.
Okay. We'll get to that. We will.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll put that on Patreon.
Yeah. You gotta... If Disney's going to put the movie or film behind a paywall, we'll put the episode, the little bit about it.
That'll show them.
Behind a paywall. Yeah.
Yeah. You ready to start?
Can't beat them, join them, right? Yeah, let's start. Speaking of Disney, I just like that their animation studio logo pays tribute to Steamboat Willie.
Mm-hmm.
It's cute. It's like the flip book, and then it turns into the black and white footage.
Mm-hmm.
And then it begins.
Then it begins. We open up in like San Francisco.
No.
But it's a fictionalized San Francisco. Is it not even called San Francisco?
No, it's San Francisco. San Francisco.
Okay. It's I was about to say, cause it's a mix of the two.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool idea to do, to mix two cities together.
Yeah. San Francisco has a Japantown, but this is like... if it was all Japantown.
Yeah.
And the very opening shot where the camera goes over, I guess it's San Francisco Bay, I think,
mm-hmm.
Over the wharf, it's like, and then the buildings, it's, I think, the exact same, at least the first two shots, the exact same sequence in the beginning of Zodiac.
Mm.
David Fincher's 2007 crime thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's a very memorable shot because he used CGI to recreate 70s San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, he's just showing all of it to you at once. But this is like San Francisco. And it's animated. And then we go to the back alley. Mm-hmm. The back alley bot fight.
Yeah. We see these what are presented to us to look like giant robots. Mm-hmm. Turn out to be tiny fighting robots.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever used to watch, I feel like back in the 2000s, robot fights got really big.
Oh, yeah. I used to watch, like on G4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Used to watch those.
I'd watch those tournaments sometimes.
Yeah, with the ball.
It was never as cool as I wanted it to be.
Not like this.
No.
Not like in Big Hero.
I wish it were like this.
Yeah, no.
Did you play with Beyblades?
I did. I did. I used to watch that.
I never had my own, but I would watch people on the playground.
Mm-hmm. I had the little stadium.
BattleBots. It's yeah. fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool in the movie.
It's cool to make things fight.
I like the first fight you see is like the robot gets like the pinchers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the music makes you think you're supposed to feel intimidated by that.
Right.
But then the buzzsaw comes out.
Right.
Buzzsaw wins.
Of course. Chops him up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this big guy.
Yama.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And he is Victor, and he calls out a challenge to anyone in the crowd, and everyone is scared. This one guy just tears the head off his robot. Like,
yeah.
I can't do it now. And so this is where we meet Hero, who is just like, I'll do it, you know?
Yeah.
And he looks super green. He looks like a kid.
He's got just like crumpled up dollar bills.
Yeah, because you have to pay to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, I got money. Let's do it.
I like how Yama says, what's your name, little boy? And he says, Hiro Hamada. And that's how we learn his name. But mm-hmm. then the guy just calls him Zero right after that. He
right.
like asks him his name. And then it's the disrespect.
Right. The punchline was right there. He just took low-hanging fruit. So round one, they go at it. Hiro's robot.
It's really dinky.
It's really dinky.
It appears to be very dinky.
It looks like those things, those building things that you know what I mean? Like those little...
Yeah, like the magnet
yeah,
things.
It looks like the magnet things. I'm not doing a good job explaining, but that's what it looks like. And Yama's bot pretty much just takes it apart really quickly, like without much of a fight.
Yeah, but then... Like, you see that the crumpled up bills are maybe just for show because he pulls out a nicely rolled wad
right.
of dollars.
Like, hey, come on.
For the rematch.
That was my first fight ever. Like, let's do it again. I have more money. And Yama's just like, easy money. Let's do it. But this time, Herobot changes his face from like this smile to like this angry like growl. And it goes berserk. It like fights like a snake, like it's able to like unravel its body, detach, like it's meant to like come apart and detach. So like
it's a cool feature.
It being like cut by the buzzsaw was nothing, and then it uses the other bot's own body to like break it apart.
Yeah, it's intelligent. I like the duality of the smiley face turning into the mean face and how that kind of comes back with the two different programs for Baymax.
Mm-hmm.
So I like how that popped up in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yama's not having it.
No, he's been hustled.
This guy does not know how to lose.
Yeah. And so he six his goons on him. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, take care of this. And Hiro's about to be pummeled.
But he's saved by Tadashi, his brother,
mm-hmm.
who pulls up on a moped, tosses Hiro a helmet because
safety first.
We're being safe. Yeah. And we get a high speed chase. So we get the BattleBots into the high speed chase. This is a kid's action movie.
Yeah.
While we're on the moped, though, we get some good exposition, some important stuff. We learn through Tadashi's line, you graduated high school at 13 and this is what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, he's a genius, in case mm-hmm. you didn't know, based on the performance in the bot fight. And also just the relationship between Tadashi and Hiro set up in that Tadashi's kind of disappointed where Hiro's going right now in his life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's gambling in an alley. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to get away from Yama's crew, but they end up apprehended by the police.
Yeah. Where Hiro's going is jail.
Yeah. Hiro, however, is very comfy in his cell.
Yeah.
While Tadashi is like in the overcrowded block.
Mm-hmm.
I guess because like they keep in, yeah, age.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of people in prison in this San Fran Tokyo.
San Francisco.
San Fran what?
San Francisco.
Sokyo.
It's like the San S from Francisco, Sokyo. But the Okio from
Sokyo.
Yeah. Neither city gets their full name in the mashup. We meet Aunt Cass, voiced by Maya Rudolph. I had to look up. I'm kind of ashamed I didn't recognize her voice.
Uh-huh.
I knew it was someone that I had, or like I knew I had a relationship to that voice because before she even said anything funny, I had a smile on my face.
Right.
I thought it was Catherine Hahn at first, but it's Maya Rudolph.
It's Maya Rudolph. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very small role.
Very small role. Yeah. You already get Tadashi as the. Because it's a Disney movie, they don't have parents that are around.
They do not have
parents. You actually learn it in the line from Aunt Cass. For 10 years, I've raised you two. So somehow
happened to
their parents died 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But you get the father figure in the brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aunt Cass is just there.
She's just there, you know, yelling the whole way home. Stress eating.
Mm-hmm.
Why is stress eating so funny?
Because it's relatable.
It's very relatable. And just like eating and then blaming the people that like stressed you out. Like, you're making me do this. I hope you're happy.
And then enjoying it.
Yeah, enjoying it.
You did this. Yum. Right when they get back home, Hiro's literally about to get up to go to another bot fight. He's like, okay, if we leave now, we can make another one.
Right.
This boy learned nothing.
He does not
from
stop.
His punishment. Yeah. And Tadashi says, fine, if I can't stop you, I'll take you.
Mm-hmm. But first, they have to stop at his lab, which is probably just his plan all along, is just to show him his lab.
Just divert.
Yeah.
Divert that energy. So mm-hmm. his lab, he goes to the San Francisco Institute of Technology.
Mm-hmm. Which he calls the Nerd Lab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the Robo Lab. Mm-hmm. We get to meet the whole gang.
Yeah. We see a flying cat in there, which is pretty funny. There was like a cat and it had like things on his paws that were like making it like the thrusters that that Baymax gets later were on the cat.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't notice that. I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah, more cat flying. We meet Go-Go, who likes to go-go.
Yeah, she's got an electro-submagnetic bike that Hiro's quite impressed with.
Mm-hmm. And it's fast, but it's not fast enough.
Her thing is that she's a girl, but she's tough.
And she's fast. Super edgy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she chews gum. That's like part of her thing also.
Mm-hmm.
The friends are very thin.
Yes.
Characterizations. Wasabi's got some laser-induced plasma. I just like the science jargon.
Laser-induced plasma. He is OCD. Super organized.
Oh, super organized. His thing is he's anal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also
there's
like
a place for everything.
Very broad shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really sure why that character has super broad shoulders.
Yeah.
That's based on like what he's like.
Very broad, big shoulders and like small legs. I feel like that's the common, like that triangle is a very popular character design.
Yeah, but not for this archetype.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it is. They're trying to be subversive with that. I'm not crazy about the character designs in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like the faces, the giant eyes. I guess that's Disney's thing, though.
Yeah.
It's the same as like Tangled and Frozen.
Yes. We meet Honey Lemon,
I didn't get her science thing down, but it's like a yoga ball.
Yeah.
That has chemical super properties. Science-y.
Super cheerful. I don't know what it is. It's like dust and powder. She changes the molecular structure of it to like pink gas. It's really cute. And then last but not least, we meet Fred.
Yeah, his thing is that he's a T.J. Miller type.
He is exactly a T.J. Miller type. He wears a mascot uniform.
A lizard suit.
And he's not a student. He just hangs around.
Yeah.
And names everyone.
Yeah, Wasabi's in the background's like, I spilled wasabi on my shirt one time.
Now he's Wasabi.
I'd like to mention that this is our second week in a row with the sign twirling in movies.
Oh yeah, it is.
Because Fred's a sign twirler.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's a member of the sign twirlers union.
True.
Or if they have a chapter in San Francisco.
Right. Squeeze did say he was in California when he did it. Let's mix those two worlds.
Yeah, I don't think that really fits. No. We also meet perhaps the most important member of the group, who's not really a member of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Baymax. If Baymax isn't your favorite character in Big Hero 6, you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong. He's the best thing. So Tadashi is going to show Hero what he's been working on. And to do so, he's going to make him the example. He rips up some duct tape and he puts it on his arm, rips it off, makes him say, ow.
You need pain to activate it.
And once Baymax hears ow, he fluffs up like a giant marshmallow. And he's just like, I heard you say ow. Let me help you out. Scans him. He's really helpful, really cheerful.
Yeah, Tadashi programmed him with over 10,000 medical procedures.
Mm-hmm.
We see the little green disc he has with the smiley face with the... What's the doctor hat little metal thing?
Yeah,
and what are those even for?
I don't think they use those anymore. I feel like I've seen that more in like horror.
Yeah, like you wake up and then that's in your face. What are those hat things for?
What were they ever for?
Is it like stethoscope cosplay?
Maybe.
It's kind of like the stethoscope thing on their...
On their head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tweet us at Movie Film Pod if you know what's up with those doctor hat things. Because that's on the disc.
Yeah.
The little green disc that Tadashi made. He's a healthcare robot.
I wrote that as the Act One gun. The chip.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just like, they linger on it and they want you to see that what makes Baymax
that's
can change.
Line. Yeah. We also meet Robert Callahan,
Head
of the robotics program. I like his character design. I like his nose.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Philip Baker Hall, but like if he were taller.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's not voiced by him, even though James Cromwell, who does the voice, kind of, I guess he saw the picture of the guy and made it like nasally. Like he does the nasally, like, I feel like he's doing a Philip Baker Hall impression.
Mm.
And for our listeners, just Google Philip Baker Hall and you'll be like, oh, that guy.
That guy.
He's great. Legend.
Yeah.
So is James Cromwell, but yeah.
Yeah. I really like Robert's design as well. There's something about him that seems very familiar. Like I had him as, like, he just has like a teacher's face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You trust him.
Yes, he's very trusting.
See him and you trust him.
Mm-hmm.
He's interested in recruiting Hero, who, as we know, is a high school graduate genius.
Mm-hmm.
He would make a great addition to the robotics program.
Yep. And
he just needs a project.
He just needs a project. And so he offers him, right, the opportunity to
make a project and get in.
Mm-hmm. And now Hero's super excited. The place that he once called the Nerd Lab, now he wants to be a part of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he saw all the goods. So he needs to He needs to make something.
Yeah.
He's got to do it.
Something really cool.
So Eye of the Tiger starts playing. It's ramping up. We get a montage of sharpening the pencil, getting it nice and sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Right before the point touches the page, though, the record scratches or it cuts off.
And he's got nothing.
He's got nothing. Never get back to Eye of the Tiger. No. Even once he, once inspiration strikes, we get like some generic inspiring score.
Yeah, some original music, I guess.
I just feel like I have Eye of the Tiger blue balls.
Yeah, so yeah, they cut it short, and I actually like that the only way that he's able to like think of something is by Tadashi holding him upside down and saying,
look for a new angle.
Look for a new angle. Like find a different view, and it helps him mm-hmm. out, and he gets it. And then we get like a time lapse of him like eating, sleeping, living this project.
Yeah, it's the garage time lapse, which is an interesting thing to make in an animated picture because it's not actual time passing. I feel like that those shots in live action, like, it's always impressive in a way because it's like they spent hours to get this and they're condensing it into like a short scene. Like Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad do these really good time lapses where you watch and you're like, wow, this must have been like the whole day and they have to do a lot of work. Like, you actually had to clean that room.
Right.
Like, you have to get the actors to actually do the whole thing.
The whole thing.
This
is like a three-car garage. This is a pretty big garage.
Three-car garage, no cars.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the kind of garage a robotics genius would have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I read recently? Related to garages.
What?
Apparently, Jeff Bezos bought a house with a garage in it specifically so that he could say he founded Amazon in his garage.
Interesting.
So anytime you hear them, people trying to like inspire you, it's all a story that's being plotted. Told. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all performance.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Hero, creates Amazon.com. No, we actually don't know what he makes.
Yeah.
We just see the trash.
All right.
Trash bins full.
Full of something. And it's the night of the presentation of the
exhibition.
And Tadashi is being super supportive, just saying like, hey, you got this. Just breathe through it. And you're going to knock it out of the park. I believe in you.
Yeah, we got a little moment with the whole gang walking in with these trash bins.
Mm-hmm.
Gogo has her moment where she says, woman up. That's her advice.
Yeah, woman up. Not man up, but woman up. Yeah.
I just noted the Fred line about how he doesn't wash his underwear.
Oh, yeah.
He goes in front side, back side, inside out, front side, back side.
Yeah.
And that's disgusting.
Calls it recycling.
And then you get Wasabi like gagging.
Yeah.
And that's a Damon Wayne Jr. specialty.
Yeah.
I feel like he always works in the gag.
He has really great
gag.
reaction sound.
I can't do it. I'm not really, Damon Wayne Jr.
Really. And so his presentation is starting.
They really, because it has to be this huge inspiring moment at the end, they really sell the opening like, oh, this is going terribly.
Yeah.
And I love the classic mic feedback awkward start moment. It's such a cliche.
But you get that and you get the guy walking off oh, God, this is so cringy. I got to go.
It was like five people and then there's feedback. So someone walks away.
Yeah.
But he starts to draw a crowd as he gains confidence, which he should have had all along because it's incredible what he makes.
Right.
His microbots, a type of nanorobotics, which he can control telepathically through a neural cranial transmitter.
Wow, you got all that.
Yeah.
Yes. It is really amazing because he's controlling these microbots with his mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to build things with his mind. He's able to walk on the ceiling and just move around.
Yeah, I like how his pitch, he starts off with just one little robot and no one's impressed. But then he's like, but if you get a bunch of them, and it's like, this is what people can accomplish when they all come together.
When they all come together.
Yeah. While being mind controlled by one source. Ooh. I don't know how this metaphor works.
It's going.
With the microbots thing.
And so, yeah, now he has a big crowd. Now he's a hit.
Even attracts the attention of Alistair Cray. Of Craytech. You know, Craytech.
To Cray.
Yeah, the villainous looking dude.
He's villainous because he has what? Sharp features.
And he's like the CEO of a tech company.
Yeah.
And he's smarmy.
Yeah, he is. He tries to scoop him up and scoop up his idea and say, hey, I would like your technology. I would like your tech and your brain over at my company. But then Robert Callahan comes over and warns him like, hey, don't trust this guy. He cuts a lot of corners.
Yeah, Callahan hands him the invite to the program. He gets in because it was a great presentation.
Yeah.
And then it's like, who are you going to listen to, Callahan or Cray?
Right.
And they both have these very distinctive noses. It's like, which nose do you go for? The straight, like, kind of triangle nose or the
round nose?
The broccoli. Yeah.
Yeah. And he chooses broccoli. Broccoli nose.
Yeah, for your health.
Because it's not a shortcut.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a celebration as we walk out. Aunt Cass is going to order food for everyone.
It's going to be a good time.
And Tadashi and Hiro have a moment, really celebratory, but it is cut short because fire.
Yeah, fire breaks out for whatever reason. And everyone's panicking, but Tadashi realizes that Robert Callahan is inside of the building. And so he is just like, you know, someone has to go in there and save him. And so he goes in there, and moments later, the whole building just explodes.
Yeah, as he runs in, he's saying, someone has to help. And he runs in, and his hat falls off.
Mm-hmm.
So then all we're left with of Tadashi is his hat.
Yeah. It's really sad.
There's an explosion, and then we cut to the memorial sequence where it's the framed picture of Callahan, framed picture of Tadashi next to each other. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we see they both died.
Mm-hmm. And now the weather's moody. Mm-hmm. It's raining.
Yeah.
That sad weather.
The music is sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're having the repast. I really like this shot where everyone is downstairs looking up. And then we see a Hiro at the top, but like shrouded in darkness.
Yeah.
So it's just like his silhouette.
He's not doing well.
No.
The loss of his brother and best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So he's all alone in his room. Aunt Cass tries to cheer him up.
Tries to feed him.
Brings him some food. Apparently there's a cafe downstairs.
Yeah.
Did we know that before, or is this how we learn about the cafe? Because she just comes in and starts talking about a customer at the cafe downstairs.
I think when she was stress eating at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's the first time it popped up in my notes. But yeah. She mentions like an 80-year-old woman that came by wearing revealing clothing, and apparently Hiro always likes that.
Right.
That always entertains him.
I was thinking like, did we miss that? Did we miss the lady, like, did we see her before? But no, I think this probably is just not the first time they're exclusively talking about it.
I think it was also a couple days later.
Mm-hmm.
She also mentions that the school is calling, and even though the semester started, he can still enroll.
Mm-hmm. And so he gets a message.
Yeah, and then he gets the group message.
The group message. And they're all trying to be cheerful and helpful and say, you know, we wish we could crawl through this screen and give you a hug.
I like they say, hey, Hiro, in unison at the beginning, but it's like a very mournful, solemn, like, hey, Hiro, but still all together.
Yeah.
But he shuts off the message.
Yeah.
Before it ends. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even watch or listen to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. But then he ends up dropping his bot from earlier, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on his foot.
He drops it on his foot and says, ow. And Baymax pops up.
Hey.
Baymax is here. Really, really comical spatial awareness humor.
Yeah.
Where he's just like this giant thing in like this really small space, but he's trying not to like just knock everything over. Mm-hmm. He's walking very tiny and very like tight together to get past the bed and the bookshelf.
Did you ever watch Homestar Runner?
No.
Okay. Well, for any listeners that did, Baymax really reminds me of Strong Sad.
Strong Sad?
Yes.
I have to look this
Strong
up.
Strong Bad's brother. You would like Homestar Runner. Actually, yeah, I think it holds up.
Okay.
It's like a early 2000s online Flash cartoon.
Okay.
Homestar Runner. Anyway, Big Hero 6. Hero doesn't want Baymax around.
No.
But he keeps hurting himself.
Right. Yeah, he falls into the like crevice between like his bed and his desk.
Yeah.
And then when he tries to get up, he knocks the shelf down. Things keep falling off the shelf.
Every new time he gets hit, Baymax has to start over with his on a scale of 1 to 10.
On a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
Are you hurt?
Hero tries to like get on top of Baymax to like compress him by force. Mm-hmm. But Baymax says the only way I'll go away is if you're satisfied with my care.
Mm-hmm. But then Baymax sees Tadashi's hat and he goes, Tadashi.
Mm.
And so
actually that's later.
Oh
yeah. That's after the chase.
Okay.
They notice the microbot.
Right.
There was one microbot that Kray tried to swipe from Hero.
Mm-hmm.
That Tadashi was like, hey, give that back.
Right.
So he's left with one, even though everything else burned.
Mm-hmm.
But it's moving.
It wants to go somewhere.
And Hero thinks there's something wrong, but Baymax sees that it's trying to go somewhere. So Hero, trying to get rid of Baymax, says, you go follow it.
Right. And so he does. He just goes out into the world.
Just awkwardly and like very slowly walking in the middle of a busy intersection.
Right. And Hero has to like chase him down.
Yeah, you go get more of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Get to see the trolley and all the Japanese influenced architecture of San Francisco.
Yeah. And so they end up at a building.
A warehouse. Like, abandoned warehouse.
Abandoned warehouse.
Wouldn't be a superhero movie without an abandoned warehouse.
Right. Where you see something shady going on.
Of course. Mm-hmm. They sneak in through the window.
Mm-hmm.
But Baymax can't fit all the way through. He has to let some air out.
And
so
you
deflate. Get like a and fart noise.
Yeah, it's a fart noise. It's really loud and they're trying to be quiet.
Yeah, right.
And it's just like this long pause of Hero watching him deflate and just being like, someone's gonna hear us.
Yeah, Hero's trying to go on all these cool adventures with Baymax without like understanding Tadashi's vision.
Right.
Like he's a nurse.
He's a nurse.
And nurses are important.
Not a spy.
So like deflated Baymax. Actually, he reinflates himself.
Yeah.
And then notice the microbot production line.
Mm-hmm. They see a bunch of them. And it's not long before they all start to rise.
Yeah, they're attacked by a bunch of them, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they have to run, but Baymax can't run. He kind of just waddles.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
Yeah. And so Hero has to, like, drag him along. And they barely make it out.
They do see the masked man.
Yeah, wearing a kabuki mask.
Yeah. But they get out. They go out the way they came in through the window.
Mm-hmm.
It's this cool slow mo sequence of the fall where Baymax like hugs Hero to break his fall,
mm-hmm.
and that's his thing, protection.
Protection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's his element.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to the cops.
Right.
And you know you see danger, you call the cops.
You call the cops. But the cop that they're telling their story to is finding it very hard to believe that a man in a mask is controlling microbots and attacked them.
Yeah, meanwhile, Baymax has, like, air holes
that
are making little fart noises.
Right.
Or air, or using air noises.
Using tape.
But not even duct tape.
No, just regular, like, Scott tape.
Yeah. And then his battery starts dying, and low battery Baymax is just drunk Baymax.
Yeah, he's just drunk and boozy. And
that one's for the adults, I guess.
So, yeah, I mean, because his battery is running low, they pretty much have to leave the precinct in a hurry.
Yeah, just leaving behind the tape. Yeah.
Taking the tape with them.
Leaving behind the dispenser, taking the tape.
Yeah. They have to get past Aunt Cass, who can't see Baymax. Why?
Yeah, this part of it feels... The whole Aunt Cass not... I guess it's like a teenage thing that he's not letting her in.
Right.
But come on, dude.
Yeah.
She's the best. She's making like the hot wings that you like.
Exactly.
But no, it's like it has to be a secret.
It has to be a secret. I guess maybe she doesn't know Baymax exists at all.
But would that be that much of an issue?
No. And it's not like Baymax would like...
She would probably be interested because I'm sure she's suffering the loss of Tadashi as well. It's exactly. Like, look at this awesome thing he made. Mm-hmm. But it's a movie.
So,
or a
yeah,
film.
They get past her. And Baymax is able to charge and fluff up again.
And this is where he sees the hat on the bed and says, yes. Tadashi. Tadashi's here.
Mm-hmm. And so Hiro has to explain that he died in a fire. And Baymax is just surprised because to him, it doesn't compute. He's
right,
just like...
It's not physical pain. It's a different pain.
It's different. And he's just like, Tadashi was a healthy human being with the right diet and exercise. He should have lived a long life. Mm. But, you know, life, you don't always die because of old age.
No.
You don't always get there. And so... Yeah, Baymax has to learn about internal pain, like emotional pain.
Matrix style downloads a database of personal loss.
Yeah.
So now he like starts hugging Hiro and he calls his friends and says they're coming.
Yeah, like you need connections, you need your friends and loved ones, and you need compassion.
Hiro is not interested in working through his grief, though.
No, he's not.
And he's just going to fixate.
He's in denial.
Yeah.
I actually think he does work through the five stages of grief in this.
Probably.
Yeah.
He is thinking about the man in the mask with the microbots, and he realizes that he got them from the exhibition hall that burned.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably started the fire to cover that up.
Right. And he's the reason that Tadashi's dead.
Yeah, so we gotta catch this guy.
Yeah, we gotta get him.
So his plan is to upgrade Baymax.
Mm-hmm.
If you can download a whole database on personal loss, Matrix style, let's have you download karate Matrix style.
It
That's
was
for
very,
real Matrix style.
It was very Matrix style.
Yeah, the dojo looks exactly the same as the one where Neo and Morpheus fight or train. And he makes this armor.
Yeah, this green armor. His volume one, his first outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to sneak past Aunt Cass to get to, I guess, the garage.
Yeah.
And she's distracted with the TV. You hear that she's watching Frankenstein. It's alive
right.
part.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's Frankenstein.
Yeah.
So that's fun. I guess Baymax is the Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
In this case, it's the friend, though. Not a monster.
Yeah, it's a friend.
I
like that. I like that Hero's chip is red with a skull on it.
Yeah, and then when he goes to put it in, we see we're reminded by the Tadashi's green one, the cute green one, and then he puts this dangerous red one right next to it.
Yeah.
And then after Baymax downloads all the fighting stuff, he gets to learn a fist bump, which is apparently not a fighting thing.
No.
And
he adds it to his health.
Yeah.
To his health thing. And he goes, where does he go?
When Hero tries to make it like a involved thing where the fist bump explodes, Baymax goes, da 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 da.
Da 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 da.
Really great voice performance by Scott Addist.
Mm-hmm.
Pete from 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good stuff. Like, he gets a lot of emotion through with still doing like the stilted dialogue of a robot.
Yeah.
And just a lot of good comedic moments. Man, Disney and Pixar love taking people that were on NBC sitcoms and putting those voices in their movies.
Yeah. So they go back to the building, but it's empty now. But now the microbot is trying to go somewhere else. So they use it pretty much like a compass.
Yeah, it's cool. They keep it, if you keep it in glass and it's trying to reach the others, it'll lead them there. Mm-hmm. And it takes them to the harbor.
Mm-hmm. And out there they see the masked man.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decide to hide behind a crate before they attack. And as soon as he says, Baymax, get into like fighting pose.
The lights come on.
And it's like a deer in a headlights moment, but it's revealed to be the friends, Go-Go Wasabi, Fred, and Honey Lemon.
Yeah, because Baymax called them earlier.
Yeah.
I guess they tracked him.
Mm-hmm.
And Hero wants them out of there. Not a good time.
Like, you guys don't understand. And they really don't understand because they try having almost like an intervention, you know, like a circle.
Yeah.
Of sharing feelings. That is cut short when the guy in the mask throws a crate at them. Really great reaction from Wasabi, Damon Wayans Jr.
Oh, yeah. In addition to good gagging, he also does great screaming like a girl.
Yeah,
moments.
Great, like, high-pitched screaming. Yeah. Just like, oh God, no, really good.
But Baymax stopped the shipping container from falling on them.
Yeah, he's super strong.
Mm-hmm.
Very
protective.
Mm-hmm. And so they're able to get away in the car.
Yeah, Fred's in the back seat, just like watching the masked man chase him, just recognizing, oh man, this is a villain. We're being chased by a villain, and he's just so psyched about that.
Exactly.
Wasabi's behind the wheel. Not the guy you want behind the wheel in a moment like this. Stopping at red lights, turning on his blinker.
Yeah.
Freaking out. So Go-Go sticks her gum on the dashboard, which is just disgusting.
Just rude.
Rude, and also, like, you're going to put that back in your mouth?
Probably.
Ugh.
Ooh. She'll just leave it
so
there.
So gum goes on the dashboard, and she goes from the passenger seat onto Wasabi's lap.
Yeah, no time just, for him to
just sit on the driver's lap and take control.
Yeah.
Pretty badass.
And she pushes it.
Oh, yeah. Now the real chase starts.
Now the real chase starts. And I didn't realize that it was a stick shift before, but it's the stick shift because she is just like really just like shifting.
Yeah.
Using the brake to drift. She's a drifter. She's able to maneuver really well.
She's a speed queen.
Mm-hmm. All type of stunts, all type of leaps from streets to, like, bridges.
And they get away, except...
Except...
It ends up that they're at a dock, at the end of a dock.
Yeah, so they end up crashing.
And they fall in the water.
Yeah, they crash into the water.
And they almost drown.
But Baymax is there.
Yeah, Baymax sheds his armor, which was weighing him down.
Yeah.
as we all knew was happening.
Right.
And he saves everyone.
Yeah. He becomes a flotation device.
Nice underwater scene, and then becomes a like a raft. Mm-hmm. And scans everyone, sees they're all cold, they got to dry off.
Mm-hmm. And Fred.
Fred knows a place.
Yep. And he takes them to this really fancy place. Now, if you could picture Fred as just like this, like, hacky sack guy.
Why is this guy who, it turns out, lives in a mansion and has, like, an old British butler valet guy named Heathcliff.
Mm-hmm.
Why does that guy not wash his underwear?
Exactly. He doesn't even have to wash his own underwear.
Right. There's people on the payroll.
There's people on the payroll that can buy you new underwear. But he is super rich. He's loaded. They don't believe it until his butler greets him. And they're just like, I thought
you lived. He does the fist pump.
Yeah. I thought you lived under our bridge.
Yeah.
But no, he's super rich.
Fred's a shitty friend for only taking them to his really nice place after.
Right.
They almost died.
After they almost died, right.
Like, he has the whole, like, basement or whatever room with all the comic books and the arcade games and, like, giant TV.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's, like, where you're supposed to take your friends if you have that.
Right. They probably wouldn't believe him if he tried taking them to his house, so.
We get the Stan Lee cameo in a portrait.
Uh-huh.
He is Fred's father.
Yep.
But the parents are off on an island.
Mm-hmm.
So Fred's got the whole place alone.
Mm-hmm. And we see all his action figures and his comic books and his superhero suits. So he is all about this. You know, he's really into the fact that he was just chased by a villain and they got away.
And he has some ideas.
Mm-hmm. And they don't seem far off. They seemed very in line to what the movie wants us to believe.
So Fred says, that shit cray.
He thinks it's Alistair.
Alistair Cray.
Which seems very likely because he was a bit shady at the beginning and he wanted his microbots.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the bad guy is using his microbots. So it makes sense, right?
We learned that Baymax scanned the masked man.
Mm-hmm.
Because he scans everyone he comes in contact with.
Right. And he knows his blood type. And I guess a few other things, but we don't really get to hear it because Hero cuts him off and is just like, whoa, you scanned them?
Yeah, time for an upgrade. Let's scan the whole city.
Yeah, let's scan the whole city. And also, let's...
That's a little problematic.
Yeah.
They didn't consent to that.
Everyone is getting scanned. And also, let's upgrade ourselves so that we can...
all the friends get upgrades.
Yeah, so that we can become heroes and we can stop the bad guy.
You could say... We can be immortal, but not for long, long. Because those are the lyrics of the Fall Out Boy song, Immortal, that I'm guessing they wrote for this movie.
Yeah.
Because it plays again in the credits. That's what plays over the montage of the upgrades.
Mm-hmm. Very catchy tune. You might find yourself humming it.
We watched it yesterday and today. Yesterday, when it started playing in this montage, I was thinking, this doesn't sound right.
Mm-hmm.
But then it played again in the credits, and I started singing along. And Fall Out Boy, they're good at making earworms.
Yeah,
I was singing it today, and I was really enjoying it when it came up tonight in the montage. I was like, "Yes, it's this part."
Yeah, it's so catchy.
This part is everyone, we saw like what their science projects were in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but now those are all like turned into superhero suit powered things.
Yeah. So we saw that Gogo was working on this like magnetic bike to go really fast. So instead of the bike, it becomes like she's on rollerblades.
Almost. Yeah, and she has
the discs that she can throw. Honey Lemon has these kind of like they're foamy bombs.
Yeah, it's like a paintball looking thing that becomes like a Frozone from the Incredibles thing, but not ice.
Yeah, not ice, but really colorful.
Really colorful, and like she can move around.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
I guess.
Like bombs and yeah.
Yeah. And then Wasabi has like...
laser-induced plasma hands?
Yes. Fred.
He just becomes the mascot.
With, I guess, like a flamethrower in the mouth. Yeah.
That's so he's a fire-breathing
lizard. Yeah.
He is stoked.
Yeah. He's the most hype.
And then at the end of this montage, Hiro introduces the gang to Baymax 2.0, which really should be 3.0.
Yes.
Or at least 2.1. Because he already got the upgrade mm-hmm. earlier. This is the second one.
Mm-hmm. But now he's in red.
Yeah, now he's in red.
And they got rid of his tummy. They tucked his tummy in.
Yeah, they didn't need to do that.
They didn't need to do that.
I guess maybe he can fit in more places.
Yeah.
Hiro says, show him the thing with the arm. And he tries to do the da-da-da-da. No, the other thing. And it becomes a rocket. Smashes through like a marble sculpture and like the wall.
Yeah.
But Fred doesn't care.
He does not care.
He's, actually, he does care. He's just very impressed.
Yeah.
And stoked. And now we get our inspirational flying sequence because it is the first movie of this superhero. I feel like every first superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's an origin story thing.
Yeah.
The flight sequence.
Or, yeah, the first time you fly, the first time you web swing.
And there's always that moment where you start free falling. Uh-oh. But then right before you hit the ground, that's when you zoom off.
Mm-hmm.
And for Big Hero 6, that moment happens on the Tokyo-inspired Golden Gate Bridge. Like, the towers of the bridge have, like,
I wish I knew architecture words.
Yeah, like, the roof things.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Baymax
notices that that Hiro's neuro, or what is it, like neuro, like
I don't know what it is,
like his like neuro like wavelengths are like up.
Oh, like just his, that he's happy.
He notices, yeah. He notices that he's happy, and he's just like, oh, the treatment's working.
Right, because he's only engaging in all of this because Hiro says this is what will help
him,
make him
better. And so he does the free fall thing where he just kind of leans over and drops,
mm-hmm.
and then before he hits the ground.
Yeah, and it's all like that moment's like pretty predictable. There's no real sense of danger or anything. It feels like, I don't know, very familiar. But then there's this moment afterwards where they're flying up like one of the towers of the bridge to the top,
mm-hmm.
but there's like a little they bonk it just a little bit at the top,
right?
And I like that because it was right after I was thinking, oh, of course it went that way,
mm-hmm.
but then just some humanity,
mm-hmm.
just a little ding, but still, mm-hmm. I appreciated it. Then the blimps, is that what they are?
Yeah, they are
a bunch of blimps.
Yeah.
You get like this very video gamey moment of flying through the blimps.
Mm-hmm.
Reminded me of Crash 3 or Spyro. Fun stuff.
So, yeah, once they get to their destination, Betamax is ready to deactivate. Feel like his job here is done. But Hiro's just like, no, you can't deactivate. We still got to get that guy. Do the scan.
Mm-hmm.
And so he super scans everyone, and he finds the mask guy where he's hiding, and he's on this island.
Of course. He didn't even just scan the whole city; he got the islands also.
Yeah, and of course the bad guy has his own island. He's on his own island,
mm-hmm.
and so that's where they're off to.
And the whole team comes along. They have their first landing as a team.
Mm-hmm.
They do the drop. Wasabi's frightened. They're all a little unsure. They hear a noise.
And they all just attack.
It's like smoke everywhere. You can't see. And then once the dust settles, you see it was just a bird.
Right.
And they hit everything but the bird.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a bird, and they couldn't even get it.
But at least they know their equipment works.
Yeah, their equipment works, but they're clunky.
They're clunky.
I love the cutting laser through a wall thing, like trying to make the... You always see like the clean circle, but of course it's like the awkward...
Yeah.
It's how it would come out if any of us tried doing that.
Very wonky, almost like a square. And then when it gets to the end to connect, it doesn't
connect. Yeah, he can't connect it.
So he can't push it down. So then he has to like make just like a slash into it. But they're in. They get in.
Yeah, and they get to see, you know, when you break into the villain's lab, you get to find the videos.
Right.
that explain some things.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the things these videos explain is that Alistair Cray was experimenting with teleportation technology. Mm-hmm. Very interesting that the videos show Cray, because he is who is suspected to be the masked man.
Exactly. But we see that the experiment goes terribly wrong.
Wait, right before it goes well with the hat. Like, uh-huh. he passes the hat through the portal. And there's just this line I love where he says, "It's not science fiction anymore." Like, he's saying that to his shareholders or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a science fiction. Like, it is.
It is.
It's like in a rom-com when a character says, like, "Oh, this is like romance straight out of the movies." It's like, you're not fooling us. Nice try.
We know what it is.
But then the test goes awry when they try with a human test pilot.
Mm-hmm. And we actually see Alistair ignore a warning sign,
mm-hmm.
which makes us further question his character and believe that he is, in fact, the guy behind the mask.
Speaking of which, the mask guy comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Attacks.
Throws a boulder at them.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. And the only reason they don't get crushed is because Baymax takes the hit.
Yeah, and they have this plan to get his mask, because that's where his neural transmitter would be, where he's controlling the microbots.
Mm-hmm. And they're a new team, and they don't have a strategy or game mm-hmm. plan or anything, so
they're all doing their own thing.
They're all doing their own thing. And so Fred's first. Of course, he's first. He's super excited.
Yeah.
But he gets, you know, pushed to the side. And then Wasabi is ready to go. And he's starting to, like, at first he's scared. And then he's starting to, like, feel himself. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, you want these hands?
Yeah.
But then he also messes up as well.
Yeah. Then it's Honey Lemon's turn.
Mm-hmm. Honey Lemon and Go-Go go at the same time.
Ooh.
And end up messing each other up.
Mm.
Yeah. And pretty much, yeah, just bumping into each other.
Hero is eventually able to get the mask off.
Yeah. And they see that it's not Alistair.
How could we trust Professor Callahan?
It's Callahan?
He's not dead?
That's crazy.
And we got some explanation. He survived the fire
mm-hmm.
using the microbots.
Because of the bots.
Did we know the microbots were fire resistant?
No.
Yeah, how did that's a risk.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway.
He took a risk.
Probably shouldn't think about that. this is when Hero realizes, wait, Tadashi tried to save you.
And
but you killed him, and you're alive,
and he doesn't feel sorry about it.
No.
He said that was Tadashi's problem, that he tried to save him. And that's when Hero snaps and he's ready to like kill.
Yeah, he takes out Baymax's health card
mm-hmm.
that Tadashi made, and leaving only the red chip
mm-hmm.
and orders the kill.
Yeah. And like and like Iron Giant, his eyes do that thing. Where they,
yeah,
like,
it is like, very. This is the big Iron Giant. Yeah.
And he starts to like destroy everything in his path. But then the team, they stop Baymax.
Yeah, this is stupid of them. I mean, I get they're drawing a line with like
murder.
And that's cool, but like it's, they shouldn't be getting into that Death Robot's way.
Yeah. Yeah, I would steer clear.
Because all the violence he commits ends up being against the team as he's like trying to throw them off of him.
Mm-hmm.
But they do succeed.
Mm-hmm. And they get the green card back into Baymax.
Yeah, Hero's furious that they stopped him from
very, very upset
from committing his first murder. Mm-hmm. And he goes home.
Yeah.
With Baymax.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to take out Baymax's healthcare card, the green chip again.
But he won't let him this time.
No, Baymax says, I need this. Is killing Callahan really what's going to make you feel better?
And he says, yes, no, I don't know.
Hmm.
And then he just goes...
I guess this is the bargaining
stage. This is bargaining. He says, Tadashi is here. And then he's just like, no, he's not. He's dead. And he's like, no, he's here. And then that's when he shows him the footage of Tadashi.
Yeah, Baymax's...
testing on him.
Baymax's belly... like Teletubby TV screen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cute. I would watch a movie on his belly.
He's a combination of the Iron Giant, a Teletubby, and the Stay Puff Ghostbuster dude, or like Michelin Man.
Or
Strong Sad,
or
I
like
guess.
Winnie the Pooh.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got that energy. I should have mentioned this earlier. I forgot how much of a dumbass everyone in 100 Acre Wood is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the owl.
Yeah, the owl pretends like he's smarter than everyone. He might be the stupidest because of that, though.
He might be.
The hubris.
I mean, I'm sorry, not to talk about Winnie Pooh again, but at the end of the song, when they go, we'll be back soon, and he goes, back soon? That sounds like back, son. Anyway.
Farewell. Idiots, all of them. Even Christopher Robin.
Even Christopher,
who's probably the one that taught them how to not spell.
Yeah. So yeah, he sees the testing footage, and he is just
very
like,
heartwarming.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, I see my brother. I probably haven't watched or heard my brother's voice in a long time, and so it's very calming for him. And then the team meets him at his house, and they forgive him.
Yeah.
They understand. Yeah.
And they watch more footage of the test, the teleporter.
Yeah.
And this is where they figure out that the test pilot, Abigail, is Callahan's dead daughter, Abigail.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, lights up the revenge motive that is happening here.
Yeah, he's going after Cray because he blames Cray for his daughter's death. So we get right into that. Now that it's like that thing where now that the heroes know what's going on, know who the bad guy is and what their motives are, now the audience can be like fully on board with it.
Yeah.
Because our next sequence is just Callahan doing bad guy stuff, kidnapping Cray. Alistair Cray is unveiling like a new building.
Yeah.
And Callahan shows up and really messes stuff up.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary what he can do with those.
With those bots.
Those microbots.
It's
kind of nightmarish the way it like grabs Cray.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Looks like Venom.
And
like a symbiote.
Yeah. Kind of. He gets the portal and he uses that to destroy the building.
Yeah, he puts it above the building, and then the portal, the gravity starts to, like, tear everything apart.
Yes.
Starts to tear the buildings apart, and he's just like, I'm going to destroy everything that you build, and then I'm going to throw you into the portal.
Yeah, that's his plan.
Mm-hmm.
But he did not plan on the heroes arriving.
Mm-hmm.
The unnamed group of heroes.
Yep.
What could this group be called? These six. Mm-hmm.
These heroes of six. Yeah. And they
that's the big question.
They come in and they're like hero pose, you know, landing on one knee or your leg extended,
yeah,
or whatever. And Hero tries to reason with him.
After trying to murder this guy,
yeah,
he's really come around now.
Yeah,
now we show up, we see the evil plan in motion. Let's talk.
Yeah,
I think I've also lost someone.
Yeah, he comes to I guess the final stage of grief. And also, I guess, like, the way that, like, Robert and Hero's story work together is really cool to have, like, the plot and, like, the sub, the, like, the character, like, what is it? Like, is it the plot and the subplot, or is it just, like...
I wouldn't call it the subplot. It's just not the their character.
It's usually, like, it happens in, like, a lot of movies, but in this one, it's very clear... Of, yeah, like, what the main character is going through and what that person is going through.
I guess
through.
It's like a foil, right?
Almost, yeah. Yeah, and we see the danger of what wanting revenge can do,
mm-hmm,
and how Hero avoided that, thankfully, and how he's now trying to get Robert to avoid that as well. But Robert...
He only avoided it because of the people he had around him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like... Robert maybe would have stopped, but then once Alistair starts talking,
yeah,
that,
like,
ruins
don't
it.
Like, shut up, dude.
Yeah, shut up, dude. Shut up. You ruined it. And so he's just like, no, my daughter, like, I need to, like, avenge her, and, like, this is the only thing that's gonna make me happy. And so now he's fighting them.
He attacks, yeah, now, yeah, it's battle, mm-hmm, and it's not looking good.
No.
For Hero and the other heroes.
Yeah, once again, they're a new team, and they don't really know their potential. So, and they also split up,
mm-hmm,
and so they're divided and conquered.
This is every much. Superhero team movie, the first one.
Yeah.
They're all doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
Practice as a team if you're going to be a team. Don't, mm-hmm, don't wait for their...
Come on, you gotta get a board with X's and O's, just like you're on a football team or something. So yeah, everyone gets captured pretty much, or is in a really tight spot.
This is where Hero says, look for another angle.
Yeah.
He uses Tadashi's line.
Mm-hmm, because he's now hanging upside down, about, yes, to, like, be, like, pulled into the portal.
Mm-hmm.
And they all hear it. And they're able to do it. They're all able to find a different angle out of their problem.
Yeah, my favorite is with Fred. His, like, arms are being pulled.
Yeah.
He's being stretched to two sides. And then he, like, remembers that he's inside of a suit.
Yeah.
It's not his real arms.
It's not his real arms.
So he just takes his arms out.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just, like, down while the costume arms are still being pulled. And, mm-hmm, then he can control stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's really great with that, like, music pause.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that really intense building, and then the music pause. Like, oh, hey, I can do this. And so, yeah, they're all able to get out, use their skills.
To the full extent.
To the full extent.
Mm-hmm. Fred ends up lighting his signs on fire, so now he's twirling fire signs.
Yeah. Hero... understands the situation, notices that the portal is pulling everything up.
Yes.
And it's also pulling the microbots up.
Mm-hmm.
So now the plan is to send all the microbots that they can flying into the air.
Yeah, and then if he doesn't have enough, like, those are his powers. If we can't get the mask, get the bots.
Yeah. So they get the bots. They start smashing all the bots, blowing them up any way that they can,
mm-hmm,
to send them up into the portal. He doesn't realize what's happening until it's too late. Until he tries to, like, hit a Baymax and Hero with, like, a final blow. And he has nothing to hit them with.
Nothing, which gives Hero and Baymax the moment to go for it. But they stop right, mm-hmm, before Baymax's rocket arm makes contact. And you get this nice shot of them not punching Callahan. And it's, like, they're upside down and he's...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the nice images.
Mm-hmm.
But
and they take the mass and crush it.
Yeah, they crush it. Mm-hmm. They stop him. Things are looking good, but that portal still is going off.
It's still going off.
And it's pretty unstable.
Mm-hmm. But Baymax senses life inside of the portal.
Yes.
And so he's going to go inside.
And he detects a female life form mm-hmm. within the planet.
Yeah.
And they predict that it's Abigail, who's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Hero goes in with him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the moment where I realized that this movie was released in 3D.
Right.
Like, what this was this? 2014. Moment. This is like, we're still in that craze. Experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I could tell, because it's like the way the debris floats in the foreground. Mm-hmm. It's like that moment where you're like, whoa, yeah. it's right there in front of me. but it's a nice sequence. It's like really colorful.
Yeah, what is it? What is this dimension? It's like really beautiful and cloudy. It looks like if you drop ink inside of water mm-hmm. and it's just like spreading and moving like that.
There are little balls that reminded me of COVID-19.
Yeah, I can see that. And I was just like, oh, this place is beautiful. Of course, humans polluted it already with debris. Right. Yeah, now there's all this glass.
Yeah, we ruined it.
We ruined it. they're able to save Abigail, but it comes at a price because Baymax suit gets destroyed in the process and he's no longer able to use his thrusters.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's got to be left behind.
And so he has one more question to ask Hero, and it's, are you satisfied with your treatment? And Hero doesn't want to let him go.
No, because once he says yes, Baymax will deactivate.
Yeah.
It's this very emotional moment, but Hero's doing well.
Yeah.
He's not in pain anymore.
Mm-hmm. And he says, I'll always be with you.
Yeah.
He fist bumps him to safety.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And Hero and Abigail get out using the rocket fist mm-hmm. For momentum.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really sad because Robert goes to jail. But then mm-hmm. in the corner of his eye, he sees his daughter being taken to the hospital. And he can't go with his daughter. And he did this whole thing for his daughter.
Mm.
And now he'll never get to see his daughter. Well, he'll get to see her, but he won't get to, like, be with her.
Yeah, it's pretty tragic.
Yeah, it's pretty tragic.
Hero's in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when he, inside the rocket hand, he like does the fist bump and mm-hmm. the rocket hand opens and it's the chip.
It's the green chip.
It's Tadashi's life's work.
Yeah, it's still there.
So he uses that to rebuild Baymax.
Mm-hmm.
With the original chip.
Yep.
So Baymax is back.
He's back. Better than ever.
They hug. Now Hero's all about hugging him.
Yeah.
Wasn't so interested earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? We got a superhero team.
Yeah.
Life, we didn't plan on being superheroes, but life doesn't always go the way you plan, says the voiceover.
Mm-hmm. And now they're zipping through town. This is a very common way to end a superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just like super experienced and can like maneuver around town now. Yeah. And then that last shot of like the group together.
He says, who are we? That's the last line. Mm-hmm. And then you get the title card at the end. They're Big Hero 6.
It's Big Hero 6. And that's Big Hero 6.
There's a post-credit scene.
Oh, yeah,
there is. Because it is a Marvel movie.
I think this is the first time I saw this, too.
It's the first time I saw it as well. It's a Fred scene. He's back at his mansion talking to the photo of his dad. If you didn't recognize it as Stan Lee before, you will now.
Mm-hmm.
He hopes his dad is proud of him. When he touches the portrait, though, it becomes a secret passageway.
Mm-hmm.
We see, hey, dad's a superhero too.
Yeah, what kind of superhero?
I don't know, but he shows up and it's Stan Lee with Stan Lee's voice.
Yeah.
Apparently his superhero underpants, he does the same thing as his son in that
He wears them front, then back, then inside out, and then front, and then back.
What the heck?
What the heck?
You even see he has so many pairs.
Yeah. So,
what's Heathcliff doing for you? But yeah, they hug. And that's Big Hero 6.
That's Big Hero 6.
There's like 3 seasons of a Disney Channel animated TV show they did from it.
Yeah. I should check it out. Watch episode.
It's 2D.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Kind of like the animation in the credits.
Yeah, it is a fun credit. Comic booky. Mm-hmm. It reminds you that this was a comic book. Had you heard of this before?
No, I've never heard of it before. Me neither. So.
Is Big Hero 6 a movie or a film?
Big Hero 6 is a movie.
It's definitely a movie. It's
definitely a movie.
I think I said it a bunch already. I was trying not to.
But I think I said it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a movie.
It's got all the movie stuff.
Yeah. And it doesn't go too deep into like grief or death or any of that stuff.
No.
No.
What a random pick.
But it was
nice to relive that.
Yeah.
And I hope you enjoyed it too, listener.
Mm-hmm.
MFers.
MFers. What are we doing next week?
Yeah, I guess I got to announce that, right?
Yeah. What are we doing next week?
Well, first, I just want to say once again, at Movie Film Pod on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Patreon.com/moviefilmpod. Please support us if you can.
Yeah. We're going to have some good content on there.
Yeah, we will.
We'll definitely build.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, going to be more stuff.
Yeah.
As well. Starting with just this exclusive podcast.
Exclusive.
The exclusive. also email us moviefilmpod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back next week. We're doing Billy Madison.
Ooh. Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
On movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film.